This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. Got a lot coming up in the 3 hours of our program today. Eric Karen will be with us in just a moment, a former U.S. special agent. We're going to talk about Trump loyalists and terrorists. We're going to be discussing Congressman Steve King, who for years was a regular guest on this program. Is the Midwest flooding an act of God or an act of Koch Industries and ExxonMobil? And billionaires get the profits and average Americans get screwed once again. Pretty amazing stuff. We'll touch on all these things in the other news of the day. But let me start out with Eric Karen. He's a former U.S. special agent and diplomat, the author of a new book, Switched On, The Heart and Mind of a Special Agent. His website, switchedonlife.com. Eric, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom. It's a privilege to be on your show. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So I have a quote from you that it's astonishing that after 9/11, the Democrat Party, I'm not sure what you're talking about there. There's no such thing as a Democrat Party, is failing to see the gravity of an open border. They won't recognize the importance of border security, even as MS-13 members pour into America. Just saw a 16-year-old boy being killed by MS-13 members. You realize MS-13 started as a Los Angeles street gang.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. So what I don't get here, well, lay out your case.
Well, my case is simple, that this president recognizes the threat. He sees the threat matrix from transnational crime groups, i.e. MS-13, the cartels operating in Mexico, and he sees the threat from state sponsors of terror, such as Iran, North Korea, Sudan, Syria, and what they're planning to do against us. And he sees the threat from the terrorist organizations as well that are internationally and as well as operating here in America. So he understands that without border security, we're doomed to repeat ourselves based on what happened on 9/11. And it's simple.
So you're suggesting that the 9/11 hijackers came across the southern border to get into this country?
No, they came across the northern border.
They flew in here on legal visas, every single one of them.
Yeah, and they overstayed their visas.
Right, but they all came through airports. How is building a wall on the southern border going to stop a 9/11? What terrorist who is coming, who is serious terrorist, you know, somebody who's serious, who has, you know, resources, intelligence, I mean, as incompetence, you know, can think clearly and has some cash, as these guys did. What person like that is gonna crawl on his hands and knees across 100 miles of desert on the southern border when he can get on a damn airplane and buy a first class ticket out of Saudi Arabia? By the way, speaking of state sponsors of terrorism, as you well know, Saudi Arabia's Wahhabism is the inspiration of ISIS, and Donald Trump is sucking up to its murderous dictator, because his son-in-law wants to borrow another $1 billion from them. But what terrorist in his right mind is going to crawl across the southern border when they can just fly into the United States on a first-class ticket?
Well, Tom, we do know that terror organizations are operating in Central and South America. We do know that they've crossed the
absolutely, absolutely, Eric. So, you know, they who put them there? It was Ronald Reagan back in the 1980s. The Contras, he was feeding all kinds of money to the right-wing death squads. Elliot Abrams was feeding this stuff. George Herbert Walker Bush almost went to jail for this if Bill Barr had not recommended that he pardon Abrams and Ollie North and Caspar Weinberger and all those guys, because they were the ones who were preparing to testify against him. It was a huge scandal. Yeah, I mean, it was front page of the New York Times all the way across the headlines on Christmas Day of 1992. Sure, there's right-wing terrorists down there all over the place. That's why all these people are showing up on our southern border. They're fleeing that terror.
Yeah, and I think we also have to understand, Tom, the nexus between terror groups and the transnational crime groups. So they're, in some cases, not all, but in some cases, they are, in fact, working hand in glove and supporting one another.
Of course.
So let's not forget that.
Of course, but what does that have to do with why we need a wall on our southern border to stop terrorists who can get on a plane and fly, you know, Saudi Arabian Airlines or whatever the name of their carrier is.
Yeah. Well, I think we need to harden all our ports of entry, not just our land borders, but our seaports as well.
So how do you do that? You've got something like 5 million people,
yeah,
I believe, a month coming into the United States from foreign countries. It's been a long time since I've seen the numbers, but it's millions of people a month. They're coming into the United States on tourist visas, on business visas,
right,
on student visas, on work visas. Hell, Donald Trump is hiring them. He just applied for 20-some-odd new visas for his hotel or his golf course in New Jersey because they busted him for having illegal aliens working there for the last 18 years. I mean, he doesn't want to hire Americans. He wants to hire foreigners, and they come over here. How do you know that they're not terrorists? And what does that have to do with building a wall?
Well, we need to vet people who get on airplanes.
We already do that.
And we need to do a better job with that. We need to screen containers that come into America for WMD agents.
But what does that have to do with a wall?
Well, because it's all part of a larger strategy to keep us safe, Tom. I mean, we cannot, because bad guys will go where it's soft. And so the president is listening to the men and women of law enforcement and saying, we need assets.
You know, the bad guys in south of our border, Eric, bad guys south of our border are not sitting around thinking, gee, you know, I'm a robber and I'm a rapist. I think I'll go to the United States to do my robbery and rape. No, they'd much rather do robbery and rape in Mexico, where it's a lot easier to get away with. I mean, you know, or for that matter, go into Guatemala, in Honduras or El Salvador, countries that Reagan and U.S. foreign policy ravaged, and where they not only can get away with it, but the government will openly support them. They're not trying to figure out how to get to the United States.
Tom, what do you say to the mother just last week whose son at 15 years old was murdered by MS-13 in Virginia and Maryland? You know, slaughtered, 100 times stabbed.
I would say that it's really a shame that Ronald Reagan was pumping crack cocaine into Los Angeles back in the 80s, leading to the beginning of the MS-13 gang.
Okay. If that's what you believe.
Well, it's documentable fact. I mean, it's, come on, Eric. I mean, terrible things are going to happen. But, yep, you know, for you and Fox News and groups like this to take, you know, like that woman in San Francisco, it turns out the guy dropped the gun on the ground and accidentally shot her. But, you know, the illegal immigrant who killed what's-her-name, who turned into like this iconic character on Fox News. Everybody who watches Fox News can repeat her name. I'm sorry, I can't remember it. I'm sure you know
it.
Yeah,
I can't. No, I don't.
Okay. But you know what I'm talking about. I mean, you know, it's like you take the exception. We know that immigrants to the United States, illegal immigrants to the United States, and I'm no fan of illegal immigration. I think that we should start, when Ronald Reagan in 1986 stopped prosecuting wealthy white employers for hiring people who are in this country without documentation. Prior to 86, we did not have a problem. Post 86, we've had a problem because he turned on this giant magnet. Now, we all know, looking back at the record and the documents that are available now, that Reagan did that in an attempt to destroy the unions, particularly in the construction and meatpacking industries. And he was successful. In less than a decade, those unions were basically industries were basically de-unionized. And that was his goal. And he was successful. But no president since has started enforcing those laws. I think we should enforce those laws.
Yes. Tom, you get no arguments from me on worksite enforcement. I did it. It's in my book. I arrested 361 illegal aliens at a U.S. defense contractor in 2007.
Yeah, and you know, and like I said, the Trump organization keeps hiring these people. But what we know about that illegal immigrant population is that they actually commit fewer crimes than native-born Americans. And so you can pick one or two crimes and try to imply that these people are robbers, rapists, and murderers, and certainly there will be a few among them, just like there are a few among any population.
But to
say that that's like saying because Jeffrey Epstein is a billionaire and a pedophile, all billionaires are pedophiles. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, Tom, I hear what you're saying. And, you know, the stats regarding illegal immigration and the crime that they commit is kind of fuzzy, granted. But, you know, I've seen numbers, 500 homicides, 1,000 homicides a year committed by illegal aliens. But you know what? At the end of the day, if that's your son or daughter killed one illegal alien who commits a murder against someone.
But they're not committing the murder because they're an illegal alien. They're committing the murder because they're a murderer. We need to stop murderers.
Well,
you've got murderers.
They're here illegally, Tom. They weren't supposed to be in our country. You have a front door in your home, right, Tom?
Well, you know, once again, Eric, you're trying to suggest that people who come into this country illegally are doing so to commit crimes. And I'm not buying that. Maybe the crime of working.
Some of them are. Some of them are coming to America to work. I get it. I see it. But there are some, you have to admit, right, that there are many illegal aliens who come to America to commit crimes.
You're talking about criminals. You deal with that through your criminal justice system. You're not going to, if somebody wants well, to, if somebody is a real, well, you know, Eric, think about this for a second. I mean, just logic here, right?
Education.
I'll give you the last minute after the, because we're going to hit a hard break in a minute and a half. If somebody is a true, let's say a serial killer, a genuine psychopath, bent on, you know, raping and murdering as many people as he possibly can, that's his goal.
Yeah.
And he's sitting around thinking, I think I'll go to the United States and commit these kinds of crimes. Why would he walk across 100 miles of desert when he could go to Tijuana and get a visa and drive across the border like literally a million people a day do in Tijuana?
No, Tom, when people come to America illegally, they're committing not just immigration crimes, but they're
not the people who are coming through the desert, Eric. They're the desperate people.
The stone cold killers
are coming in on airplanes and by car.
No doubt. But these people are coming in and they're assuming the identity, in many cases, of U.S. citizens. They're purchasing
to work
Social Security cards.
Sure.
They're getting licenses that are false. They're committing insurance fraud.
Stop all that stuff, Eric, and we should stop the magnet by putting white employers in jail. But
I agree. You got no arguments for me. I outlined that in my book, Switched On, the Heart and Mind of a Special Agent, when I arrested 361 illegal aliens at a U.S. defense contractor.
Okay. Eric Caron, a former U.S. Special Agent and diplomat, author of a new book, Switched On, the Heart and Mind of a Special Agent. SwitchedOnLife.com is the website for his book. Eric, thanks for dropping by today.
Hey, sir, thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Good speaking with you. We will be back. It's 18 minutes past the hour.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
So do we really need a wall to be more afraid or more secure or more what? More East German? And welcome back, Jesse in Miami. Hey, Jesse, thanks for watching Free Speech TV. What's up?
Hey, hi, Tom. Wow, the conversation you just had, it just really is an extension of racism. You just say all black people are lazy, they don't want to work, they just want free stuff. You just focus on that, then you have people believing it. But
right, and his version of it is all these Mexicans, all these brown people, they're just stone cold killers and rapists.
They focus on the lie. We just got to focus on be the simple child. Why does this happen?
Yeah.
They don't have no answer to that. All they could do is respond, all right, I'm off my main subject, but how do people get to go with, magical thinking?
Mm-hmm.
We done lost the concept of thinking.
Yeah, that's really the issue here, because it really is magical thinking to think that somebody who is coming to the United, somebody who is competent, a competent killer who wants to come to the United States and kill people, is going to cross 100 miles of god awful desert in order to do it when they can just show up at the border.
And the thing is, why would they do it? And why would you just want to smear that one person versus a whole society? It's obvious they're trying to keep off the main subject of why the people come here, why people commit crime, so they just focus on the crime itself. The lady in New Zealand is talking about banning assault rifles.
Right.
Now, I don't want to get into that, but the real reason is, why does these mass shootings happen? It reminds me of the death squads in South America. They just terrorizing the population to keep them thinking, hey, what's the reason for this? Instead of just
and by the way, and Jesse, you know, apropos of your earliest your opening point, if you look at the photographs from the '80s of those death squads, that, you know, it appears John Negroponte and people like Elliot Abrams were, like, you know, giving a little tip of the hat to. If you look at the photos of the death squads, and then you look at the photos of the people that they were killing, the death squads were mostly European ancestry people from El Salvador, and the people they were killing were mostly Native ancestry, Native American ancestry, indigenous people.
Yep.
And it was as much a racist war as anything, what Reagan was fighting in Central America.
Yep, I agree. But the thing is, how can we get people to stop thinking magically? And the only way is to go to the root of the problem, because if you just go to the root of the problem, well, why do people do that? Then they're going to have to start thinking. But if you just go to knee-jerk reaction, they say, oh, well, that's the answer. Just like they hit the computer. They forget how to write or even how to count without the computer. I mean, we're just losing the whole concept of think because we're not going to the roots.
Yeah.
You hear me on this?
Yeah, yeah. I think that, you know, just this... Your concept of magical thinking, is just, you know, so spot on, Jesse. And this is the problem, is that these guys, and not speaking necessarily of our guest, but, you know, the people who are watching Fox News all day long and listening to right-wing hate radio are falling into this fantasy world. And, you know, that well-financed terrorists and truly competent murderers are going to spend, you know, weeks crossing a dangerous desert in which hundreds of people die every month or every year in order to get to the United States to do their job when they can just fly into Los Angeles. Jesse, thank you for the call. We'll be right back. It's 22 and a half minutes past the hour. Jesse was just pointing out, not in the context of our guest, but in the broader context of this issue, the essentially inherent racism in the argument that the people we need to be afraid of are those people coming from south of the border. As I said, you know, a serious criminal, a stone cold killer, somebody who definitely, you know, is like a really competent drug dealer, they are not going to travel through a couple hundred miles of deadly desert where hundreds of people die every year to get to the United States. If they want to get to the United States, you know, they will fly. they'll fly into Houston, they'll fly into Los Angeles, they'll fly into Chicago. I mean, there's flights every day into the United States from all over South and Central America. You can get here. And if you've got some sort of, terrible criminal record, it's not that hard to get a little phony ID and just drive in through the border. The people who are showing up at the illegally at the border are people who are seeking refuge. There's people who are seeking asylum. They're desperately looking for an opportunity to flee from these death squads that Ronald Reagan installed in Central America in the 1980s. Ronald Reagan, Ollie North, Elliot Abrams, all these guys, John Negroponte, they installed and supported and subsidized these right-wing death squads. And by the way, now there's just came out this documentary about how Jair Bolsonaro, the new president of Brazil, climbed his way to the top on the back of right-wing militia death squads. I mean, you know, as is happening in the Philippines right now with Trump's other good buddy, where he's got a Trump Tower, Duterte, or as is happening in Turkey right now with Trump's other good buddy, Mr. Erdogan, who told him, you know, also where Trump has a Trump Tower. And Erdogan calls him up and says, you need to pull out of Syria. Oh, yes, sir, sir, yes, sir. This is just like craziness. This is like crazy magical thinking. It's just mind-boggling. And, you know, and where do we go with this? How do we even respond to this? Ramon in San Francisco. Hey, Ramon, what's on your mind? Thanks for listening to 910 AM.
Well, thank you, Tom, for the opportunity to address you. I was listening to Eric, and he doesn't know that in the 1980s, here in San Francisco, the police captured the Meneses brothers. They were Nicaraguan nationals working for the Contras. And believe it or not, they were released along with their load of cocaine so they can just go on.
Wait a minute, the Menendez brothers who murdered their parents?
Menendez brothers, yeah. They're the ones who were working for the Contras in San Francisco.
These are the two boys who famously murdered their parents.
Hey, no. Those are the
Oh, that's another group. Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Menendez.
I see, okay. All right.
And eventually they flew to Nicaragua and they were captured by the Sandinistas. And I think they're still in jail in Nicaragua.
Yeah.
My point is that if you want the people from Central America to stop coming into this country because they are desperate, of course, what they got to do is accept that we created a problem with Ronald Reagan. Let's invest money up there. They need water, Tom. They need housing. They don't have it. They live miserably. That's one of the reasons why they come too. There's no food on the table.
That's right. And by the way, they're being whacked by global warming now, Ramon. You know, you're seeing desertification happening across Central America.
And we could do a lot. Instead of building that wall, why don't we go and put a couple of billion dollars in Central America? And I bet you people, they won't come here.
Amen. You're singing my song.
They will work here.
Yeah, I have been saying this for a long, long time. We broke those countries. It's our responsibility to rebuild them. Ramon, or at least provide the funds so that they can rebuild themselves.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Ramon, thank you for the call. We'll take your calls right after the break. It's 28 minutes past the hour, or thereabouts. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you, and amazing. Oliver in New York City, listening to WBAI. Hey, Oliver, what's up?
Yeah, good afternoon.
Hey.
I just want to make two quick points. One is that first person you spoke to, the ex-agent, he just exemplifies what the real issue is when all people of different beliefs try to converse, right?
Okay.
You can't change their thinking, no matter how wrong you believe they are, or in actuality that they are, just like they can't change your thinking. In other words, it's an exercise in futility.
I'm not sure that's true, Oliver. I'm not going to name the person, but there's a conservative who used to come on our program from time to time, and there have been a couple of issues that we have debated over the years. The one that most recently comes to mind, well, anyhow, a couple of issues that we've debated over the years. I don't want to get too detailed on this. And Sean reached out to him a couple days ago and said, hey, you want to come on and debate Tom about this? And he says, no, the last time we talked, Tom convinced me I was wrong and he was right on this issue. Now, you know, he's still a conservative and he still has other issues with which he's willing to debate me. But, you know, it's like in my own life and on this program, frankly, people who have listened to this program for years will tell you all kinds of stories about people who call in and say, you know, I was just scanning the channels on Sirius XM or Free Speech TV or, you know, locally in a local radio station or whatever, and I heard your show, and I started listening, and I realized, oh, my God, you know, I didn't know the other half
right.
of it. So,
sure.
You know, I'm not as cynical about this, Oliver, as it appears you are. I'm guessing that in your life you've changed people's minds.
Well, I tell you what really changes people's mind and what informs people, experience.
Yeah.
Experience is what informs all of us, whether it's right, correct what we believe from experiences, or wrong, or myths, or whatever. It's experience. So when you talk to a person over time, then they can change. But in just dealing with conversations, debates, or whatever, like between congressmen, one very conservative, one progressive, not going to change anything.
Well, the thing that doesn't change there, Oliver, is who's paying their bills. And as long as they're making their money from big chemical companies or fossil fuel companies or whatever, they're going to continue, or the big, gun manufacturers, they're going to continue singing that song. That's, they're just doing their job.
I understand that. So when they are disagreeing with the progressive, that's because they're lying. Those people you just spoke about give them money, et cetera.
Or are hypocrites, or just convenient.
There are people who don't believe, for example, that climate change is real, and you can't change their thinking. Over time, experience can inform them of their error.
Well, and I think that experience is happening right now in the Midwest with this bomb cyclone. You've got a lot of farmers who've been watching Fox News for a long time who are sitting there going, hey, wait a minute, I don't think so. Oliver, thanks for the call. Linwood in Gordonsville, Virginia. Hey, Linwood, what's up? Thanks for watching us on YouTube.
Well, thank you, Tom. You're welcome. You know, I was sitting there listening to your discussions yesterday with the sheriff and today with this gentleman, and I kept saying to myself, Tom needs some tools on how to defeat the suspected white supremacists. So I'm going to help you on some things. When he used the term aliens, you should have asked him this question or these questions. Is a white supremacist racist alienated from the victims of white supremacy, non-white people in the known universe? If so, alienated how? If so, alienated in which areas of activity? Do the white supremacist racists help cause the non-white people of the known universe to be alienated from each other? Are the white supremacist racists deliberately alienated from the intention to produce justice, balance between people? That's, I think, you should ask in that question.
Okay. Linwood, when you get into a debate with somebody, go for it. Nicholas in San Cristobal, Mexico. Hey, Nicholas, what's up?
Mr. Hartman, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm not calling to correct you in any way because
feel free.
As always, you pretty much nail it. But when we talk about the death squads in Guatemala, specifically, for example, mm-hmm. and the installation of many of them by the Reagan and during that era, I think what we need to remember is that it goes much, much, much further back than Reagan.
Oh, it goes back to the 1700s. It goes back to the Monroe Doctrine.
Well, I'm thinking more modern times, and it was Eisenhower who first interfered in Central America in the modern era and employed none other than Edward Bernays, Freud's nephew, who used Freudian psychology to manipulate the American public and renamed propaganda as public relations.
Right.
And it was the United Fruit Company that was having problems, of course, in Nicaragua because Jacob Arbenz, the newly elected leftist president, wanted to not nationalize necessarily the United Fruit Company's enterprises, but wanted fairer treatment of the workers, et cetera, et cetera. And Eisenhower hired Bernays, the public relations expert, to go and convince the American people that communism was on our doorstep, installed death squads, and murdered thousands upon thousands of Guatemalans. And we need to remember that Eisenhower was, you know, no saint either, that it wasn't just Reagan.
Sure. And thank you for that history, Nicholas. You're absolutely right. And I would add, by the way, Edward Bernays was the guy that was hired by Democratic President Woodrow Wilson to sell World War I to the American people. This was when public relations was literally invented, was in the 19-teens by Bernays
Bernays with the help himself.
Right.
Have you watched the documentary, The Century of the Self?
Yes. Adam, what's his last name? But yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yes, I read it.
Or
I watched
production.
It. Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, Adam, whatever his last name is, he did like three or four of those that are all equally mind-boggling. Nicholas, I need to move along, but thank you. Thanks for filling out the history there. You know, so it's two Republican presidents, although there were some Democrats that didn't comport themselves all that well. You know, Lyndon Johnson didn't back away from that, and look at what he did in Vietnam. Anyhow, Nicholas, I got to move along. Say what?
It's been a very long, ugly history.
Yeah, amen. Nicholas, thanks for the call. By the way, check this video out. This is floating around on YouTube. I have not authenticated this, but it has been reported from several sources as being accurate. I'm assuming that it is, but let me just put that caveat on here. We don't know exactly, the provenance of this thing, but it's, like I said, it's floating all over social media. This is a it kind of speaks for itself. This is a woman at an event at which Steve Bannon was giving a speech.
Never in my life did I think I would like to see a dictator. But if there's going to be one, I want it to be Trump.
And if you're not watching, Steve Bannon is applauding her, and the room stands up and gives her a standing ovation. Never in my life did I think I'd want to see a dictator, but if there's going to be one, I want it to be Trump. This is scary stuff. John in Stamford, Connecticut. Hey, John, what's up?
Yeah, hi, how are you? Listening to your program, and I'm a little disappointed. I mean, you're saying that the criminals don't want to travel across 100 miles to kill people. No, they don't want to do that, okay? They want to cross over and have a good life like everybody else. But you got to admit that there's good people and bad people crossing. And the bad people will cause crime in this country. I mean, it's not that simple that, yeah, no, nobody's going to cross 100 miles to kill people. They'll kill them wherever they want to kill them.
I think you just made my point, John. I'm not sure why you think you're debating me.
Well, because they come over for a good life like everybody else.
Sure.
And if a person is a good person, he's a good person.
Yeah,
if
part of that good life is killing people, you know, that's what they're up to. I get that. But, you know, what am I missing here?
Well, you're missing the fact that, you know, that no criminals come across the border illegally.
Well, you know, what I was saying is professional criminals are not going to cross the border illegally.
No, not professional. That's a different story. No, professional, there's no hitman or nothing.
Well, that's what I don't mean necessarily people who do it who have other people pay them, but,
look,
you know, people who are looking to make a living in ways that are criminal, or people who want to harm other people are, A, going to grab the low-hanging fruit, which is going to be in South and Central America, or B, if they decide they want to come to the United States to do this, they're in all probability not going to be the desperate, you know, ragtag bands of refugees who are trying to come across the border. My point is that the border wall is, you know, the main thing that Donald Trump is saying is that we need to build his wall to stop criminals, gang members, rapists, and drug dealers from coming into the United States. And what I'm saying is that gang members, rapists, drug dealers, and criminals, if they want to come into the United States, they're not going to cross the desert. That's what desperate people do. That's what dispossessed people do. Those folks, that former category of bad guys, they're going to show up along with a million other people every day in one of the normal border crossings. Or they're going to fly into the United States. That's my point.
No, that's not true, sir. Look what's happened to the kids and the girls being raped along the way. And this.
My point. The low-hanging fruit is in Mexico.
Don't stop there. No, that's happening on the way. Then there's things happening in this country, too, okay?
This guy that they turned into a demon in San Francisco who killed this white girl there, you know, whose name I can't remember, he had been deported four times. Fox News keeps repeating that. What they don't repeat is that every time he came back into the United States, the way that we know he came back into the United States four times and was deported four times is because he came through the border at Tijuana four times. Or one of those legal borders in Southern California. I believe it was Tijuana. I mean, that's my point. I don't see where building a wall is going to have anything to do with our crime rate.
Yeah, you're missing the point. There's people that know.
No, I'm saying the point is that it's demagoguery. John, thanks for the call. Apparently we're not going to convince each other of anything on this. It's 45 minutes past the hour here on the Tom Hartman Program, helping you win the water cooler wars on the True People's Media. How should we be looking at this? I think that it's really important to call out Donald Trump and the Republican Party's essential racism on this. This is what they're using, fear.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
And it's a racialized fear and a subset of also a culturalized fear. It's a fear of other. And that's what demagogues traffic in. That's what dictators traffic in. And welcome back. Gary in Overland Park, Kansas. Hey, Gary, thanks for watching on our website. What's up?
Yeah, Tom, I wanted to talk about your border wall topic and the drug gangs that fuel the refugees that come up here.
Mm-hmm.
And it occurred to me there may be something circular going on with all of this. The drug gangs are basically fueled with money from Americans because Americans are unhappy. The concentration of wealth has skyrocketed, and it's squeezed Americans. They have less job security, less buying power, more outsourcing, more demands put on them. Consequently, that leads to increased drug use. And then as you have increased drug use, that fuels the drug gangs, that drives the refugees out of Central America because the drug gangs become more powerful. The refugees come across the border. Then, as the refugees come across the border, some super rich lobbyists and their backers use that as a way to pit Americans against each other. Then they can pit white people against brown people and use that as a twofer.
Yep.
So, one, they not only get the increased concentration of wealth, which drives the drug traffic, but they also then get the benefit of dividing the opposition by getting white people to attack brown people over the border wall.
Yep.
It seems somewhat circular almost.
No, it is. And it's one of those things that it's called generative. It feeds on itself and grows over time, at least in the right wing Foxosphere, you know, the hate radio sphere. And that's why I think it's important for us to periodically reach out to those people, bring them on this program, and basically debunk it and show how this is craziness. Gary, thank you. Very well said. Morris in Long Beach, California, listening on KPFK. Hey, Morris, what's up?
Yeah, Bill Maher says that people on the left are afraid to go on Fox News. So you got a job assignment. The kids told me to tell you this, Mr. Hartman. You're the only one with the skill set to go on Fox News and let them control whatever debate they want. You go over there and you debate them because we need that audience over there, okay? Now, when they do their filibustering and they're trying to change the narrative, you're the kind of guy that can hold your point. So anyway, when you have those segments where you're doing your reading and whatnot, one of them is going to be where you are on Fox News representing the lefty.
Yeah,
nobody else is qualified to do that. Except
you know, and I've been on Fox News a couple times in the last few months. It's probably been over a month. And in fact, I sent a note to Louise and Sean this morning. Leland Vitter, the guy who invites me on his show on Fox, he's one of the weekend hosts. He is one of the guys that Trump trashed yesterday or day before yesterday in his tweets because he's a news guy, not a right-wing opinion guy. And I think he's more open to actually having debates. So, you know, I maybe we need to reach out to him and say I'm available. But bottom line, yeah, I think that the Democrats, even though the Republicans did not allow a single RNC primary debate to be moderated by or conducted on MSNBC, not one, I still think I disagree with Tom Perez on this Fox News thing. And I think that the DNC should allow one of their primaries to happen on Fox News.
Well, Mr. Guy, at the time, I'm telling you the truth, man. It's about skill set. You've had a lot of training with these knuckleheads. When you first started,
a lot of practice.
People, I thought something was wrong with you. Okay, yeah. But you're the only guy that I know of personally that I listen to, and I listen to everybody, that can talk to those people and be able to speak a language which you can resonate with them. You're the only guy that can do it.
Yeah.
If you got somebody else, let me know.
Okay. Thank you, Morris. Great to hear from you. You know, I'm here. I'm ready. I'm available. And I'm having a good time. We'll be right back. It's coming up on, what is it, about 10 minutes before the hour. Welcome back. 10 minutes before the hour. And Rich in Indiana. Hey, Rich, what's up?
Hey, man, I wanted you to know that I am so grateful for your program and the people that listen to it. Shout out to Mr. Cabot. Thank you, sir. Last summer, you had Wendell Potter on, and he described the FUD, the FUD campaign, of fear, uncertainty, and doubt.
Right.
And then somebody had the smarts to say, and divided. We could double that D. I was listening to David Pakman last week, and he was able to define, and I thought really quite well, the more or less three categories that Trump supporters can be described with. The first two have to do with their critical thinking not being well trained, as someone who is ignorant of the facts, misled, or somebody who actually is just coping with learning difficulties. And so the information that's coming at them is an overwhelm, as it's designed to be. The third group of people were these self-dealing, disingenuous, hypocritical, culture of corruption, cruel people who are willing to be this disinformation, support this thing for their own personal enrichment.
Yeah, there's a fourth group that he missed that I think is actually larger than those three groups.
Uh-huh.
And that's the authoritarians, the people who grew up in authoritarian families.
Absolutely.
They want a big daddy. This woman who just, you know, we just played the clip a minute ago, this woman who said, I'd never thought I'd want a dictator in the United States, but if we were to have one, I want it to be Donald Trump. That's an authoritarian mindset. And the authoritarians are drawn to right-wing hate radio and Fox News the way that, that flies are drawn to a carcass. And I think that, frankly, the largest cohort of people who aggressively promote the ideas that you find on Fox News, the people who you are, you know, who are filling my Twitter feed constantly and my Facebook feed, you know, with right-wing hate, those are the authoritarian followers, in my opinion.
I would cite a statement made by Derek Jensen. He said, "We are a people addicted to power over others."
Yes.
That is literally what our country is defined by. Our history has taught us to be this way.
Yes.
And think about the tool that we're currently being overwhelmed by, the Internet. DARPA created this thing for making war and doing business, doing commerce. And that is precisely how this whole thing is organized. And if you'll just join the dots to that that book that came out a couple of weeks ago, Shoshana Zuboff's book, she's a Harvard Business School professor, about surveillance capitalism. This whole thing is this giant tool to grab these people in a one-to-one marketing moment and ambush their imagination.
Sure. And that's, you know, that's what's happening, you know, and people don't even realize it, but that's what's happening to make money. I've always thought that a great novel would be, you know, when, or a great MacGuffin for a novel, a plot device for a novel, would be, you know, some guy who works inside the bowels of Amazon, for example, or even the CEO, you know, although, you know, that would be more of a stretch, but, you know, some guy who works inside Amazon who has access to people's purchases history and therefore knows the people who are buying things that they would really rather not go to a retail store to buy because they're private, personal, embarrassing, sexual, you know, indicate their lifestyle, and then goes to those people privately and threatens to blackmail them, you know, using social media or whatever with their purchase history. And then that turns into like a murder mystery or something. You know, it's always seemed like a good MacGuffin. But the bottom line is that that kind of information has been aggregated about us. And right now it's being used to sell to us, but it can also be used. And frankly, this is the thing that concerns me about the fact that we learned this morning that the Trump campaign has spent $5 million on Facebook and Twitter advertising, and the most any of the Democrats have spent is about $1 million over the last year. And that, you know, and these guys are sophisticated. These guys know what they're doing, and they know how to micro-target who they're doing it to. So, Rich, thanks for the call. Deborah in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hey, Deborah, what's up?
Hey, Tom, I have been volunteering for the last 3 days to help refugees get to their sponsors. They were detained in El Paso by ICE, and they have been released by ICE, and now they're going to their sponsors. And your first, you know, guy you talked to, Eric, I mean, until you're out there and you're and meeting these, and I know he says that he has and he worked there, but I have to say these families are nothing but beautiful, wonderful people that want a better life. And, I mean, we gave used clothing and a few toys to families on Sunday, and they were thanking us five times and hugging us, and then when we got them off onto their planes or trains to go to their sponsors, they're thanking us, and I can't see anything in criminal activity or drug addiction. I just see these mothers and fathers wanting a better life for their children, which is what people in the United States want for their children.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what we all want. And to the extent that, you know, if somebody wants to come to the United States, quote, for a better life, and their life isn't all that terrible where they're coming from, that's the point at which I say, you know, we've got borders. You know, there's this thing called citizenship.
Right.
In every country in the world, if you don't have citizenship and you don't have borders, you really don't have a country. Trump is right about that, sadly, but that's the way it is. But on the other hand, if somebody is fleeing terror, we have an obligation as human beings to open the door to them. They are the stranger that Jesus talked about in Matthew 25. We have an obligation as human beings, and particularly when they're fleeing terror, that we, as Nicholas pointed out, the Reagan and the Eisenhower administrations had a hand in creating. then we have an obligation to take them in. Deborah, thank you for sharing your story with us. It's a powerful one, and I appreciate the call. We'll be right back. It is, it's coming up on the top of the hour. Stick around.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.